This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Well, 8 accidents, 14 screws and 1 reconstructed digestive system. You're invited to meet the world's unluckiest magician as part of Dunedin Fringe 2024. Steve Wilbury is that magician and he joins us on the line now. Kia ora, good to have you with us, Steve.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on.
Steve, the first question I've got to ask, are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine now. It's I won't lie, I had a pretty rough run, but I haven't had any surgery for about 3 or 4 years now. But yeah, part of the show is me becoming okay. You know, like going through all that stuff and learning how to still live is part of the show.
Oh, well, I'm pleased to hear that. All right, so give us some context here. How did all this arise for you?
Well, the whole story takes up a solid 15 minutes of the show, but the budget version is I had ulcerative colitis when I was a teenager, which meant I had to have my large intestine taken out, which then led to this large cascade of interventions, is what they call it when they have to keep doing different things. And then I had a skateboard accident, a bike accident, and 4 years ago, I popped 2 discs on my neck in Dunedin Fringe while juggling a bowling ball on stage. So I'm coming back to the stage that broke my neck.
Well, hope you have better luck this time. And of course, it's nice that you've been able to weave that into your performance this time around. I mean, clearly, you're looking at how to develop your show and grow it over time and all the years that you've been involved in entertaining in this way. So, yeah, why not make it a little bit personal, eh?
Well, I think that when you're trying to like build connection with an audience and stuff, the more personal and vulnerable you are, then the audiences kind of respond. And I think it's my story. And I think it is kind of, it's interesting. Just, it's like someone slipping on a banana peel. You can't help but look.
Tell us how you came to magic. How did magic come to your life?
How did magic came to my life when I was in hospital and I've spent a lot of time there and someone gave me a book and a deck of cards and I just sat and I shuffled and read magic books, which are some of the most boring books in existence. And it was just a way to fill the endless empty hours when all you can do is just sit and wait for your body to finish being broken.
Mm. I guess it's one thing to have acquired some skill and knowledge around it. It's another to take it out into the public forum. When did that start for you?
Oh, I've been standing in front of people for 20 years. I've been a juggler and a street performer for a lot of that time. And then the magic kind of lended itself in. It was something that I just kind of had in my pocket that I'd learned, but I never leaned into it until about 7 years ago. I was like, actually, you know, because there's a lot more talking in magic than juggling, and I like talking.
And so when it comes to developing a show of this type for Fringe, where do you start? I mean, you've got, you've got a limited time in front of an audience. You've got, you want to bring, I guess, something that's a little bit kind of cutting edge, given that you're on Fringe. Tell us about the approach you took to this show.
Well, I mean, this show, you always start, the way I do it is I start with what I'm wanting to say. And this show was about, I was wanting to say, hey, I have had lots of surgery and I've learned a lot of important life lessons. And so I beat out the things that I think are most important. And then I look for magic that kind of works into the themes as well. And I think, in terms of like, you know, cutting edge and doing something different, so many cabaret and magic shows are just backing tracks in a routine where a magic show is like, and now the next trick, and I'm now going to do another trick. Whereas I think this one trying to blend the tricks into the narrative and make them really flow naturally through what's happening on stage is what I think is really interesting about what I'm presenting. Or at least it's where I found the most fun.
I guess we can all understand the audience perspective with magic. You know, we kind of know that we expect to be surprised and bewildered and confused, and we expect also to be thinking all the time, how on earth is that happening? When you look out and when you see an audience response, what are you looking for? What delights you?
What delights me? A standing ovation. That's my favorite.
And a hat full of money.
And a hat full of money. Yeah. I mean, honestly, one of my favorites is like kids when you really fully break the universe in front of their faces and they're like, oh my God, magic is real. And you see there's like this flash of like just genuine joy and wonder. That's just such a fantastic thing to witness.
We often talk on this program with traveling musicians as an example, and you know, and particularly in the folk genre, there's the inevitable gathering together that happens when they're out on the road, where they swap songs, they learn traditions, they make friendships and connections. Is magic like that also?
I'd say performing is like that, whether you're a magician or a comic or whatever. If you're in something like at Dunedin Fringe, and there's always these little clusters of people hanging out. And that's one of my favorite parts about doing these fringe festivals, is seeing other performers and getting excited again about, you know, they might have a random note that they saw that was something cool, or, oh, here's a little bit of business that I learned. A magician won't tell you his secrets, but he sure will sell you them. but most magicians, once you get together and you're like, I'm also kind of behind the veil, to use a horrible term. And if you can swap, magicians are very swap orientated. They won't give you a lot of stuff, but if you're like, here's an original thing, they'll swap you an original thing of theirs a lot of the time.
Are you an aspirational magician? I mean, do you look at tricks that you are yet to perform and go, right, I really need to be able to do that?
I do. I have this dream there's this thing called FISM. It's the Olympics of magic. And I do contact juggling. Have you ever seen, you know, David Bowie in The Labyrinth? Do you remember that one?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so the bit with the glass ball, that's contact juggling, where he's going it back and forth over his hands. And I've been doing that for a long time, but I've been working on fusing that with magic moves that are more sleight of hand, as well as, you know, invisible thread and bubbles and all kinds of different things to kind of make this a new thing in magic, which is very rare. So that's something that I definitely aspire to.
With the history of the accidents and the medical dramas, has it ever set you back in terms of what you've been able to achieve with your magic?
Yeah, for sure. Like, after I broke my neck at Dunedin, it set my career back a good 3 or 4 years, because I couldn't work for about a year until they finished fixing my neck. And then, you know, the connections that I had built up, some of them had faded away. And there definitely is a cost. And like, I have, as a result of the surgeries, I have complex regional pain syndrome, which is still ongoing. That I manage, but it does make things like applying for funding for fringe festivals or promoting my own shows really difficult to do all those other bits as well as perform. And Dunedin's been really good, because they let me do my grant application via video, which really, really, really helped.
That's encouraging to hear, because getting a setback, like as significant a one as the one you're talking about, might have been a point at which you said, well, I've got to give that away.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing with performing, and I say this in my show, is that like, that's one of the only times that I don't have any pain at all, because I'm operating on kind of a different mode. And I get so much joy from standing in front of people and being really silly that it wasn't really an option to stop. And having had so many setbacks before, it was just like, oh, here's another thing to get over. You know, I've had a lot of practice getting over tragedy.
So there is a therapeutic element for it for you?
Oh, 100%. 100%. It's where I get to be me. The me that's not confined by the horrible history that I've had. I fly when I'm on stage. Like, truly, it feels like I'm just lighter than air.
What do you hope to leave your audiences with each time you perform, and more particularly with this show, The Unluckiest Magician?
Every show, I hope I bring them happiness and joy. Like, the whole point is to make people suffer less and to change their moods. Every time I hold a microphone. With this show in particular, the main message, I think, is that nothing is as bad as you think it is. like whatever anxiety is holding you back from doing something, it cannot be worse than the horrible things that can happen to you for no good reason at all, as evidenced by my story. So really, you know, if they take one thing away, it's that, like, do whatever that thing is, because horrible things can happen anyway, so you might as well.
Well, Steve Wilbury, we're looking forward to welcoming you back to Auteporti Dunedin for a more fortunate experience, I guess, a fringe than the former one.
No more bowling balls. The new family rule is nothing heavier than a chainsaw.
And understandably so. You've got performances Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week at Te Whare Rukitia as part of Dunedin Fringe 2024. They are all ages events too, and I do encourage you to hop online to dunedinfringe.nz and to book your spots for this show and, of course, for all the others that you want to see through Fringe. It is on now. It is through until the 24th of March, and the city is buzzing because of it. Steve, thanks for taking some time to join us here on ORFM. Travel well. We look forward to welcoming you to Auteporti very shortly.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm just about to fly down, and I'll be running around the centre doing close-up magic and handing out flyers, so I'll see you guys around.
Kia ora.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.